Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I don't have a ticket. I don't
so
know
what?
That I
don't
can
need
get
a ticket.
Is your ticket.
Tone,
I got, here we go. I'm on SeatGeek.
I'm not buying a ticket.
Tone, I'm on SeatGeek. Section 110, row L, 298. You can get two tickets. You buy the one next to you so you ensure no one sits next to you. I like that
house.
Move.
Both yeah. next to him. 900 bucks. By both
so, so you're in for 600 bucks.
Ooh, that's
row
a steal.
L, you're right in the
Who's
middle
the
there.
Who's the PR guy with the Wizards? Do we know?
I don't know.
Well, let's sure,
can you imagine him sitting in the middle of row L for the first
amazing.
Half of this game?
Amazing.
Sharing a
by
popcorn?
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
Alrighty then, we're live at Chatter. We're at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, Jennifer Street Northwest, and Friendship Heights on a rare, clear, and windless day in the morning. Very, very nice. Gary Braun is here. Luke Russert, who was at the game last night, the Golden State game, as I found out through a series of texts with Tracy Roberts, is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel will produce the show, run the board, do the news. Scott Sadler's having a birthday here today.
Oh, happy birthday,
happy
Scott.
Birthday, Scott. Happy birthday.
So I don't want to go too heavily into what I did at the game because Luke went to the game, so we can talk about this. I did call Scott Hall, and I was able to get a credential. Wilbon shamed me into going, and I did go. And I'd like Luke to repeat exactly what his salutation was to me when he walked in the studio this morning.
First words out of his mouth.
Okay, so I sit in my seat. I'm in section 111, row AA.
Stop by sometimes.
Stop
say
by.
Hi.
Well, if they let you down there through security, which
good luck.
We might just do the head nod a few rows up. But anywho, I get a note passed to me from the lovely
Tracy Roberts,
who's working
the
game
for
TNT, sitting next to Reggie Miller, who's dressed a million bucks in that suit. Looks really good. And the note goes...
And Kevin Harlan also doing the game.
And whose daughter is married to Sam Decker, by the way.
Shows is that right?
Yes.
Kevin Harlan's daughter?
Yes, Olivia. She's a fantastic sideline reporter for ESPN, I believe. She's in
really?
Yeah, look her up in the employee
She's notebook. Married to Sam Decker?
Married to Sam Decker.
This Wisconsin, is a small world
Very
moment.
Very small world, yeah.
Wow.
And the note that's passed to me by Tracy, who I kind of recognize, I was trying to place her, goes, heard you are going to be on Kornheiser's podcast tomorrow. Flip it over. He was actually here and wanted me to taunt you, knowing that, of course, he was gone before tip. So the best team in the NBA, arguably the best starting lineup in the history of basketball, and you didn't even stay for the tip.
Am I true to my word? That I was going to go to the game but not stay for the game? Indeed, I am true to my word.
So you watched warm-ups?
I was in the back. I was in the back hanging around. I'll talk about all of that later, who I saw and what I did. I'll do all of that stuff later, and I will talk about, for example, the privileged few, the Luke Russerts of the world, whose ticket enables them to go into a variety of lounges and what in the 80s we would have called go-go bars.
Go-go bars.
You know, we will ask,
the champagne room.
Yes, we will certainly ask
I think
Luke,
that's something else now.
I got some things to talk about there.
We will like certainly ask about
Cleveland
that.
Someone asking for some free shoes that we saw. We have to talk about that.
So the game, look, this is something that you learn as a reporter, as a sports writer, and I haven't been that in a long time. And this took me back on a lot of levels to what I did for a living for a long time. When a great team comes to town and the schedule only allows them in there once, when the crossover, the West and the East, boy, oh boy, do people turn out. I mean, at 7:45, as I was going outside to get into a cab to get home to watch the tip, the lines outside, what is that called? Is it still the Capital One Arena?
Yeah,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. The lines outside to get in. This was a big deal event. And and there have been so few big deal events. Now, take the Stanley Cup playoffs out for a second. There's no Redskin big deal event. A baseball park is so big that when you get 45,000, you're aware that it's a big deal event, but they don't crowd in the way they do to an indoor arena.
Like
that's not a daily occurrence. No. Something that counts in the standings. There were an awful lot of people waiting to get in, and what they saw was not just the best team in the NBA now, and I will say this again and again and again, a team with the potential to be the greatest team in the history of the NBA. I would like you, Nigel or Gary, to look something up. I'd like you to get the ages of a bunch of them, because they're not a young team, Golden State. Get Curry's age and Durant's age and Thompson's age, Draymond Green's age, Iguodala and Sean Livingston, which that's their core, right, Luke? That's their core seven guys. And Cousins. Cousins is younger than most of those guys. They're great. And every time the Wizards made a run to close it, if they were down 10 or 11 to close it to 3 or 4, Golden State just answered with ease, right? Tell me your thoughts about this. That's a great basketball team. About 8 or 9 days ago, Wilvon went on the PTI show with me and was scoffing at Golden State, saying nobody's afraid of them anymore. They can't just pull away from people anymore. And I just looked at him like, are you nuts?
He is.
Are you nuts? They don't even have Cousins yet. Are you crazy? I said, if they win the championship this year, that gives them 4 out of 5. No Jordan team, no Kobe team, no Magic Johnson team, no Larry Bird team ever did that. No Tim Duncan. They never did that.
Yeah.
The last team to do that was the Boston Celtics of Bill Russell in the 60s. They are a historically great team if they do that. And I'm not going to say they toyed. They didn't toy with the word. As Bradley Beal said, we played good enough to win. They got 98 points from their starters. They're not in league with it. Nope. You talk. Nobody's in league with this.
No, they're effortless. You watch the game and it's effortless. And it almost seems as that they may allow the Wizards to go on a little bit of the run. Then they come in there and they pour on the points. But I went to the game with one of my best friends, August Humphreys. We've been friends since kindergarten. We've watched a lot of sports together.
That can't just be August Humphreys. That has to be the third or something,
August Humphreys.
That's a first-generation August Humphreys.
Watched games since... You know, since we were little kids. And I said, what are your thoughts? He goes, this is just extremely special. And I go, and we're both big music fans, I go, this is the Beatles. This is the Beatles.
In your lifetime, because you couldn't see the Celtics.
Correct.
You're not old enough.
A guy like Klay Thompson is George Harrison. Okay? We have Durant, and we have Steph Curry as a sort of Lennon and McCartney. And then a guy like Klay Thompson, who on any other team in the NBA is probably the number one guy, who's so good, who, by the way, in person does not look that jacked up or developed.
No. Nope.
Just floats there, hits the shots, and then you still got Cousins and Draymond Green.
Draymond Green is also George Harrison.
Yeah.
Draymond Green is great.
And
he's great. And and by the way, and I did see him last night. I did talk with him briefly. Not nearly as big
as he plays on the court. They're in such good shape, and they just run up and down, and they space the floor. But I must say, I've been going to those games for the Warriors every time they've been in town for the last few years. If you're a basketball fan and you have an opportunity to see them, no matter what city it is in the league, go. You have to go. If you love basketball, it's like seeing the Beatles.
Steph Curry had 38 points in 35 minutes, and you say, okay, what do you have, 10 threes? No, he had two. He only had two.
Yeah.
And when you go to challenge him, he goes by you, and it's not that he goes by you quickly. He just goes by you, and Luke used this word, it's effortless.
Yeah, he's a water bug.
By you, and then it's banked off the board in an odd, contorted way, and it always goes in. And Durant had no particular game. They are better than...
Klay Thompson didn't play very well. Yes, I do.
Give me their ages.
KT, let's see. Thompson, Cousins, Green are all 28.
Okay, so they've got 3-4 more years.
Curry and Durant, 30. Iguodala, 34.
He's older.
Yeah.
And how old is Sean Livingston?
Oh, I didn't get... Livingston, I think, is 34 or 36.
Okay, but this is not a young team.
Correct.
No. Sean Livingston is 32.
It is a fully mature basketball team. You look at them... And I think Wilbon's nuts. Who's going to beat them? Don't tell me when Chris Paul gets back, Houston's going to beat
them. You think in your mind, okay, how would you beat a team like this? And the only thing I can think of is maybe Oklahoma, OKC gets crazy where Steven Adams is punching people
downtown. 4 out of 7
then you get to that point.
Here's who beats them. Five-game series, maybe, not seven. I will tell you who beats them. It'll be the same person to beat them last time. It'll be Draymond Green.
Yeah, they beat themselves.
It'll be Kevin Durant or Steph Curry.
Tim Legler on SportsCenter early this morning, Tim Legler said a very interesting thing that I hadn't thought of, which is this. They let you back in the game all the time because they'll miss
a few
shots and they don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. But last night, and the Wizards are not a good team, though they're probably good enough to be the 7th or 8th team in the East in the playoffs. I thought they played very well. They're just not as – they can't – this team is that good. It really is. And they are coached by someone who is that good. Steve Kerr, if you look around the league at coaches right now in the league, and this may surprise you, there's a small percentage of coaches in the league who played in the league. There are not that many. There's not. And Steve Kerr not only played in the league, Steve Kerr has five rings.
Yeah.
Two with San Antonio and three with Michael Jordan.
As
and
a Steve, player.
As a player.
He had hit a game-winning shot
and
in
so
NBA Finals game.
Steve Kerr knows, Scott Brooks also played in the league, but not all of them.
Cup of coffee.
You know, when you look at them, Steve Kerr knows how to coach them. And the way you coach a team like that is you don't overcoach a team like that. And you accept when they lose games because you know that in quality games, they're going to be better than that. Since you stayed for all of it, how was the crowd different because of who was in there playing? What was the anticipation level?
Well, you always have to think that there's going to be a group of people cheering for Durant because he's a local guy.
Yes.
Right? And he just built this beautiful new educational empowerment center in PG County. It was on the front page of the Post Sports section yesterday. So that's lovely for Kevin Durant. I thought the crowd.
Some people were just front runners, and
You know, back in the day, they did not introduce Durant when he played for Oklahoma City because the cheers were too much for him.
Yes.
People loved him so much. Now they introduce him, and he gets a good round of applause.
They still hold up signs, "Come back to DC." Are you kidding me?
I don't think he comes back. He might go to the Eastern Conference.
I think at 36 or 37, he might come back.
Yeah, come back.
Little smash and grab, like Saliza doing a speech.
But. But I thought the crowd was pretty subdued because it was watching a performance. It was like watching an opera. It was watching the Beatles. It's you sort of sit there in awe, and you know the Wizards aren't going to win, and you don't particularly care if they do because they're so bad and incompetent at this point. You want to see greatness. So I didn't really cheer that. I'm a diehard Wizards fan. I didn't really cheer that much. I mean, Bradley Beal takes a charge. Golf clap.
It is sort of maddening to watch because you get.
Wizards are better than you think they are. I do think they will make the playoffs.
Playoffs. That's hardly an accomplishment. Then we keep the same personnel groupings in place and we go forward going, oh, we're just one guy away, or you know, maybe we can get a draft pick in the mid to late first round.
We made the playoffs. We didn't even have John Wall.
Well, they haven't sworn
that. What does that say?
They haven't sworn that.
That was the number one. Like that Sports Center led with that. SportsCenter led with that game because Golden State has now won 9 in a row. And Golden State, I think, has 34 games left now. And I think they could go 30-4.
John Wall should be the starting point guard for the Los Angeles Lakers next year.
Which is what he wants.
That's what he wants. They should do everything in their power to get him there.
Harlan said on the broadcast, and this is, Tony, this might anger you because it's one of those sort of esoteric stats, but I found it very interesting. The Warriors have now won 7 in a row on the road. The first team in NBA history to do that, I think he said, in 6 consecutive seasons, which was just...
They're better than others.
Yeah.
They're better than others. All right, let me get to one other thing, and this is local
and
as
you
well.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to say this. As a Wizards fan, I mean, to Luke's point, you get maximum effort from the Wizards, who played a pretty good game, which did not surprise me. They show up for these games. Yeah. We talked about that yesterday. And you have the Warriors sort of like, you know, it's almost like they're playing with a cat. You know, they're holding like a mouse on a string. It's like
a wonderful analogy.
The Wizards get to within 2 or 4 a few times late in the game, certainly in the fourth quarter. But they're never close.
Yeah. No,
they're never close at 2 points
you
down.
You are never fearful that the Warriors are going to lose. That's not in there.
Thomas Bryant, by the way, though.
Pretty good player.
What a great player.
Pretty good player.
I really hope they keep him there.
Because, you know,
you're not
waiting for Dwight Howard to come in and rescue the team?
Dwight, and then my guy, Jan Mahemany, $64 million of fun. My God.
Ian, as we call him in my house.
Steak frites at medium rare every night. He's a bottle of red and steak frites every night for $64 million. That's what we got.
Another local note, folks. The Nationals have set their pre- and post-game show, the show that for many years Johnny Holiday and the great Ray Knight did, and to the enjoyment of many and certainly me. They have taken Dan Colco out of the dugout, and they've given him the play-by-play role, in effect. And Bo Porter, who I think managed the Houston Astros for an hour and a half and was a coach with the Nationals, I don't know anything about Bo Porter, but he's going to be the second guy. I sort of thought it might be Michael Morse, because Michael Morse was very good on some broadcasts last year. I don't know. I don't know what recommends Bo Porter, but I wish them a lot of luck. Although I wanted Luke for that job.
Yeah, we were pushing.
Yeah, we pushed you. 162 games is not really in my wheelhouse. I texted,
how about 20?
Well, I could do 20. If you gave me the premium 20, Sunday afternoon games, I'd be down with that. Michael Kornheiser, though, had a very astute point when I texted him the news. He goes, Colco will have that job for life. I agree. I think Colco goes out feet first. Bootsy's baby will be watching Dan Colco on the Masters broadcast. He will be 85 years old in that booth. Vin Scully. He is going to be the Vin Scully of the Nats post and pregame. Colco never leaves. People make license plates with Colco's name on them now in Virginia. Yeah.
It's like a TK sticker.
Oh, it's bigger than a TK sticker.
He's a cult figure?
Oh, yeah.
Dan Colco?
Dan Colco's a cult figure.
So he's been in the middle of some of the greatest on-field lovable moments when you think about Worth cursing, when you just think about the way the players have gravitated towards him. He's around some of those
pranks. Celebrations. Yeah, you picture him in your mind.
This gives him too much distance from that.
Correct. It'll be interesting to see how his personality changes to being in the chair versus standing up on the field, because I think it takes a different level of energy, because he's really good in that one-on-one playoff with the players.
And reportedly, Alex Kadri, I think that's how the name is pronounced, she's going to do the on-field
local lady from McLean, Virginia. So we like it local here.
Okay. I was just kind of hoping Joey Eishin would get one of these jobs. I miss Joey.
He did not get that job. He's going to have to suck on it and like it. Fun fact about Bo Porter, played football as well as baseball at the University of Iowa with Matt Whitaker, your acting attorney general, although he's a couple years younger, I think, 2 years younger.
Yeah. I didn't know any of that.
He was the hottest managerial candidate for all those years, and then he got the job, and then they won the World Series after him. So.
All right, so we will take a break. When we come back, we will return to basketball. We will talk to Brian Windhorst, who we hope will be our basketball answer to Jason Lockenfora, but you can't ask him to do it once a week for 6 months. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Brooklinen ad. You spend a third of your life in sheets, so if you're looking for a New Year's resolution, better sleep is a good place to start. New year, new you, new sheets. They want me to talk about the incredible feeling of five-star hotel sheets and how it shouldn't be so difficult and expensive to get sheets like that at home, which shouldn't be.
Should not be.
But it's a five-star hotel, and it's expensive when you go there. They wanted me to talk about the new sheets that your friends have been raving about and recommending. I got to be honest. We don't have conversations like that. I don't have any friends. And B, if I had friends, I don't think we would talk about new sheets. But the fact is that Brooklinen sheets have been named the winner of the best of online betting category by Good Housekeeping, and they have more than 30,000 five-star reviews, more than any other online betting company. Brooklinen works directly with their manufacturers to pass the savings on to you, making luxury betting without the luxury prices finally. You can finally get five-star hotel quality sheets easily and without breaking your bank. Sheets that don't just feel amazing, but they look great too. You can mix and match over 20 colors and patterns. I don't really understand why if they say over 20, then they put a plus at the end of 20.
Over 20 plus.
I mean, that's, you know, it's over 20 is the way you say it.
Well, it's more than over 20.
It's plus 20.
Sheets are their bread and butter. You know, just write copy that I understand. They also make towels, robes, and sleep masks. Everyone should get a sleep mask. And
I use a sleep mask. I would love that.
Fantastic. Yeah. So you can add a splash of luxury to your daily routine going into 2019. Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. Now it's time for your upgrade. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for listeners of this high-quality podcast, where you can get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code TonyKShow at Brooklinen.com. And Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. Not necessarily the face mask. Not necessarily.
That's ordered separately.
The only way to get $20 off and the free shipping is to use the promo code TonyKShow at Brooklinen.com. I will spell it for you. Brooklinen, BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code TonyKShow. Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is our longtime friend, Brandon S. Bowker, singer-songwriter in Lexington, Kentucky, who says, I've got new music. I would as always love for you to play it on the show. The new EP is titled The Country Swells, and folks can find it on Bandcamp and CD Baby, with more venues to come. 6 of the 7 tracks feature the voices of fellow Kentucky singer-songwriter Ryan Sinclair and her mom, Toni Karpinski. They make my song sound, well, much better. This one is maybe my favorite from the EP. It's called The Slightest Push. Thanks so much for playing it. We're so happy to play music by Brandon S. Bowker. To play in Brian Windhorst. And as I said before we took the break, we're hoping that Windhorst can become for this podcast what Jason LaConfora was in basketball.
Ooh, a lot of pressure.
It's not that he's not good enough, because he's good enough, but we'd have to call him up every single week for 6 months. And I don't even think Windhorst can talk that much. I don't, right? I mean, you don't want to be on all the time, once a week. You can't handle that, can you?
Well, the issue is I spend half the month in L.A.
Right. What does that mean?
It's early.
Yeah, I mean, but you're...
Just get up.
Yeah, just get up. I'm up. What's the problem
here? That's true. You are. Fair point.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm doing it, you can do it. All right, let me start with the James Harden story. And let me admit a prejudice in here that, I mean, I know it's great what he's doing, but it's also the only path to victory that they have. And I can't imagine it'll be like this when Chris Paul gets back, because Chris Paul will literally kick him in the groin, because he does that all the time. So let's start with you watch a lot more basketball than I. What do you make of what Harden is doing now?
It's a phenomenal individual performance. It's probably something, you know, we won't see again, I don't know, for decades. We haven't seen it for decades. When people complain to me that they don't like watching this type of basketball, isolation ball and everything, I get it. It's not the most aesthetically pleasing style to watch. That said, you have to take your hat off to individual mastery. I mean,
yes,
he's kind of like somebody who's a expert pickpocket. You know, and you try everything you can. If these NBA defenders, they literally put their hands behind their back, but he's just so damn good at drawing fouls, and I know that it drives the teams crazy, but it happens every single night with different sets of officials. It's just, he's just that good at it. And I don't think it's a sustainable way to play for the team long term. I don't think it's great for ratings. I don't think it's great for everything. But for now, under these circumstances, you have to take your hat off to him, because he's doing something under the rules that is tremendous.
So we're not even going to get into the fact that every time he drives the ball with his left hand, he takes his right arm and smashes it into somebody's chest. But how can you get – this is – of all the little small NBA facts that I know, this may be at the top. His last 76 baskets, 76 baskets, none of them have come on assists. That means – I guess that means, Brian, that wherever you give him the ball, it's not good enough – he's got to go out there like my dog, Chessy, and find a spot that's comfortable for him and launch the shot. It's a small – is it a meaningful statistic, or does it just wow me and is meaningless?
Well, I'm going to throw a bit of a flag on it, because there have been some times – there's been some people who really pay attention real closely who have found – some possessions where it looks like there probably should have been an assist given, and it may be now a thing that's going on, maybe with the statisticians in Houston. That said, let's just, for the sake of argument, say he's been assisted 3 times in 10 games. What it is, there's no offense being run. The offense is give him the ball and get out of the way. It is not the way that Mike D'Antoni, you know, made his bones in the NBA. Mike D'Antoni is an offensive genius. He designed some of the offensive systems that revolutionized the NBA. And trust me, it was not give the ball to the point guard and move out of the way for 23 seconds. I don't think it's something that everybody is aspiring to. I think it's something that everyone's holding their nose and dealing with. But it looks to me like Harden loves it. And so the interesting thing will be when Chris Paul comes back, which I believe could be as soon as tonight, and they start playing, in theory at least, more standard basketball, is Harden going to be A-okay with going back to more traditional play? I'm going to be watching that to be certain.
Yeah. I will move away from James Harden. We'll go to LeBron. This is the first time in LeBron's career that he's ever missed. I think it is now 15 consecutive games. LeBron would take a week off every once in a while, go to Miami and just lay in the sun and come back completely renewed. but he didn't miss this many games. What do you make of what is going on with him? You know him forever and ever and ever. If they miss the playoffs, that to me would be the headline of the whole season.
Well, it's finally happened, Tony. LeBron finally got hurt. People have been asking for a decade now, when is it going to happen? And he slipped on the floor in Golden State. And this is a pretty significant injury. And I think the Lakers are, I don't know what they're guilty of, because I suppose, you know, the NBA doesn't really care what you're honest in doing with announcements, but you could see him mouth on the floor, "I felt a pop." The MRI that he got the next day showed a tear in his groin, and the Lakers dutifully reported he was day-to-day. I think he was destined to be out a month from the moment of the injury, and I think he's still 7 to 10 days away. You know, the only question is whether or not the Lakers, who keep losing, they lost again last night.
Yes.
They lost to a team that was missing four or five of its own players. The Timberwolves last night rode down the stretch with a two-way guy named David Terrell, who I didn't know was in the NBA, and Luol Deng, who hasn't played in 3 years. And he had to have gotten tremendous satisfaction for playing against a team that benched him for two straight years. And their schedule's about to get brutal. So I could maybe see LeBron feeling some pressure and coming back a little bit early. But this is the type of injury that he's got. And it's so stunning that it would come when it looked like such an innocuous thing after so many things he's been able to endure. And I could sit here and guess and say, well, this is what happens when you're 34. But at the end of the day, he's going to miss a quarter of this season. He's probably going to miss 20 games. And there's just not that many teams out there that can withstand their superstar player missing 20 games, and I don't know if the Lakers are one of them. And the conversation has now been changed. The conversation at one point was, can the Lakers get to the 3 seed? Could they potentially get home court in the first round? And now it's, can they hang on to a playoff spot for dear life? And the fact that just that's the conversation just tells you where this team is right now.
Is he I don't know that you know the answer, but you know him pretty well. Is he happy on the Lakers? Is he happy with this move? Is he happy in Los Angeles? Is sort of his basketball career beginning to take second place to other things now?
Well, I don't think it ever takes second place, but, Tony, here's all you need to know. When he scheduled to shoot Space Jam 2 this summer. People have been trying to get him to make Space Jam 2 for 5 or 6 years now. He's been in the finals 8 straight years. He signed with the Lakers and then went forward with scheduling a movie shoot this summer. Now, granted, I don't know when the production starts. Maybe the production doesn't start till July, and he could tell you with a straight face, I plan to be able to play in the finals again. Maybe that's true. But that, to me, sort of told me everything. Mm-hmm. What I would wonder how he's feeling is, when he selected the Lakers, he had a couple of other options. He could have gone to Philadelphia. He could have gone to Houston. The one team that I think would have been fascinating for him to go to, that was, Tony, they were begging to get a meeting with him, begging, was the Denver Nuggets. And he has a relationship with the ownership there, Josh Kroenke, and he have a good relationship. They're about the same age. Josh is a couple years older. They couldn't get a meeting. But when he elected to pass on those other teams where he could have been an instantaneous contender to go to the Lakers, he had to know that it was a longer play, that it was going to be a year at least before you could be a serious contender. It's one thing for you to understand that in June. It's another thing for you to actually live it if you're him.
Yeah.
So, you know, he knew that this was going to be a transitional season. I just wonder how he really feels about walking away from so many of these games on the losing end.
I cannot possibly not ask you this. I am fascinated by it. I think I am in the very, very small minority of people who are. How can Carmelo Anthony be out of the league? Nobody wants him. What happened there?
Well, there's still a possibility he could come back. But, you know, whenever you see a collapse in anything, it's usually for multiple reasons. One is the game has moved away from his style of play, which you'd have a hard sell telling him that with James Harden. He probably looks at James Harden and says, why couldn't I have gotten the team to let me play ISO like this in the prime of my career? But generally, teams have gone away from that. They want you know, higher percentage shooters who move the ball. Secondly, he's become so bad on defense that he's almost unplayable. So the league has moved to a system with all these shooters out there. They play a lot of switching defense. I mean, when I first started covering the league, Tony, I start to feel my age here. When I first started covering the league, you only played a switching defense like at the very end of a game to make sure that you'd not lose anybody in chaos at the end. Now teams play switching defenses 60-70% of the time. And when you play a switching defense, switching all the pick and rolls is what I mean, you can hunt down matchups. And that's the way so many teams want to play. And with Melo's out there, he's just a weak link. And in the playoffs last year, the Utah Jazz hunted him out like the weak, like the ugly duckling, the weak link, the runt, and just drove him off the court. He was so bad defensively that they were unable, the Thunder were unable to keep him on the court. And then you add to the fact that he has not been willing to commit to being a role player. He absolutely just did not see the change in the league coming, and he just did not embrace it. And by the time he got to realize where he was, it was almost too late.
Yeah.
So with all those things together, he's bottom line, he's just so bad defensively and not great enough offensively anymore to be able to sustain playing. That said, it wouldn't surprise me if somebody gives him another shot. It's just, Tony, twice in 6 months, he's been traded with the immediate intention of being waived.
Yes.
Twice in 6 months.
You have to give, they had to give Chicago money to take him. It's amazing to me. This fall is right. Amazing to me. Thank you, Brian. I'm gonna
thank you, Tony.
Make sure you're on more often. Brian Windhorst,
you,
Boys and Girls.
Let
Brian,
us know next time you're out west. We'll call early.
Yeah, we'll call in the morning. Love Brian Windhorst. We will have news when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is my Lowe's ad. Lowe's is my new go-to destination where I can explore the latest innovative Craftsman products, including their new V20 power tool battery platform. Luke, are you a do-it-yourself guy?
You know, I went to a hardware store and I replaced the chain on my toilet a few weeks ago, and that's the most impressive thing I have ever done in the history of my young life. That's about all I've ever done myself.
Well, then this is for you, because Craftsman, now that you're sort of a neophyte and do it yourself and you're getting really good feedback from it, Craftsman's V20 cordless power tool lineup features a high-capacity lithium battery that's part of Craftsman's interchangeable battery system, so it works with all the tools in their V20 lineup. And, Luke, you'll really appreciate this. Gives you the runtime you need and the power that someone like you deserves.
You know, Tony, I'll buy these, and then I'll have my guy
use them.
Yeah.
The one battery system works on multiple products, making the V20 lineup easy to use and versatile. V20 brushless power tools are proudly made in the United States of America. They use global materials, but they're all assembled and built in Charlotte, North Carolina. They all have brushless motors delivering high efficiency, better runtime, more power, and greater durability for all of your projects. If you stuck your head in a toilet, you can do it. You can explore the entire Craftsman V20 lineup at your local Lowe's store or visit Lowe's.com/Tony. That's Lowe's.com/Tony. Lowe's, the new home of Craftsman.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This comes from Dan Byrne, who writes, hearing Tony and the gang discussing the Hall of Fame this morning, so that was a couple of days ago, made me think of this song, which I wrote a few years ago. At the time, I thought I should write a play about Pete Rose and Bart Giamatti. My friends advised me that staging a play is difficult, and perhaps I'd better just write the song. This is called Gambling With My Love, and in parentheses, Pete Rose.
By the way, somebody wrote...
He sounds like Dylan. Sounds like early
somebody
Dylan.
Somebody wrote on Twitter to actually support my comment that Pete Rose did, in fact, play Manage. You shot me down on
no,
that.
No, yes, apparently I was wrong. Yes, okay, yeah. I was wrong.
So
he
was also corrected in email.
Was that with the Expos he did that? Or with
No, with the Reds. All right, if people like Dan Byrne want to send in fabulous music like this that you can hear at the end of the podcast... Michael, how do they submit it?
Share your music with us by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheiser.com.
Remembering that it's free for us. We're not paying for it. Are we selling anything?
Yes, we have a limited run with the promo code SUPERTK with our friends over at Johnny O. Let us know if you need any recommendations. And if you go to shop.tonykornheiser.com, you can get a head start on all of your Valentine's Day shopping for that special woman in your life. Try the ladies' Tony Kornheiser Show t-shirt.
How about that?
Well, can't women buy these things for the special men in their lives?
They could. I wouldn't recommend they get the ladies' cut t-shirt, depending on on the figure
and
of the man.
Love is love here on the Kornheiser Show. Yes. You can buy the gear for whoever is your
someone.
Right.
Sure, that's exactly right.
Whether it be even an emotional support alligator.
Yes. As we may find out.
We may find out later.
Us, Nigel?
That's called foreshadowing.
Before I get into the news proper, I just want to say, and we love this song, excuse me, by Dan. It's not my favorite song by him. Of course, that would be the year-by-year home run totals of Barry Bonds.
That is a phenomenal tune.
That is just fantastic. Mr. Tony, we'll go back to the association, the All-Star game. The rosters have been set. Your captains are Giannis and LeBron. And in the Western Conference, LeBron will be picking his starters from, let's see, Paul George, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and James Harden.
Well, no, I think it goes back and forth. In other words, there's 10 guys who have to
start
the game.
Oh, is that how it works? Oh, you can just pick from either side?
And then there's a draft. So the Eastern players who will not necessarily – they're not going to play on the Eastern team. They'll be
– oh, right. They just
– so that's Antetokounmpo, Kawhi Leonard, Joel Embiid, Kyrie Irving, and Kemba Walker, and the West, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Steph Curry, and Paul George. What is notable – is that thankfully Derrick Rose slipped out of the top five,
yeah.
He doesn't belong there at all. But Russell Westbrook's not in it. Westbrook's a pretty good player, and he's not in it.
The story here, though,
is
fine. They're going to televise the draft.
That's right.
And I cannot wait to see who the last guy is.
That's right.
Because that guy is going to become a social media sensation, and then he's going to drop 80 points.
I was going to say, he'll be favorite for MVP.
PO'd. That's right. Absolutely.
That's right.
To Torrey Pines, Mr. Tony, Tiger Woods shoots a 70, but he's well back of your leader, John Rahm, who shot a 62.
Well, he's your leader, too. Don't pin it on us.
No, it's your country. It's not my country.
Did anybody? I didn't watch any of it.
I did not see any of
it.
Did
you see any of it?
Guilty as charged, yes.
So what did you think?
The big thing is this happens less so
they alternate courses.
Yes, less so in recent years, but the North Course always plays easier than the South Course. The South Course is the U.S. Open course. Yesterday, North played to an average of 69.39, South 71.2, so more than a two-shot differential. But John Rahm has set the pace, and even though Tiger's in good position, he needs to go 4 or 5 under to really keep pace, because you imagine Rahm and those guys who are on the first page of the leaderboard having played the North will still continue good play in the South in, say, the 2 to 3 under range.
So Rahm, who's an interesting fellow,
has a terrible
temper.
Oh, really?
He's got the temper of a club thrower. He really does.
Hothead.
I can't imagine that he wouldn't be better off if he wasn't so
emotional.
He is. Yeah. I mean, he's just really hot-headed.
He's tried to work on that in the last few years, but it does take time to manage that.
You ought to call Brian Kelly from Notre Dame.
Or he should come to Chatter and have one of these wonderful happy hour specials. And
oh, sure.
Just take the edge off.
Yeah, that would be good.
And Justin Rose, by the way, should be pointed out, who you said keep an eye on.
Correct.
Liking those new clubs, I guess.
Yes.
At a
very nice
right?
guy, Justin Rose. Very calm, chill guy. I've seen him in the Bahamas a few times. Beautiful yacht. Good guy.
Nice.
Yeah.
One of the great things of having Luke on is that there's almost nothing you can say
for life.
Where he doesn't have a travel experience.
It's like Richie Justice.
Yeah,
that's the story.
Great. Go ahead.
I was there.
To the NFL, Mr. Tony, and I know you're excited about the Pro Bowl this weekend. By the way, you can watch the Pro Bowl right here at Chatter.
Yes, you can.
Oh, yeah.
3:30 on Sunday, I believe. Oh, by the way, while I'm previewing sporting events this weekend, of course, the big one going on is tomorrow, Binghamton hosting Maine.
We can beat Maine. Maine stinks.
Maine just 3-17.
Maine stinks.
You can beat them.
We can beat them at home.
You can lose to them,
too. No, we're going to beat Maine.
Maine. I think this is a win for the Bearcats.
Maine. Yeah.
John Harbaugh gets a new 4-year deal. Keep him through the 2022
season. Jason LaCanfora had John Harbaugh fired halfway through the season. And the most fortunate thing that happened to John Harbaugh was something he didn't particularly want or didn't see coming. Was Joe Flacco getting injured. And he went to Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson saved his job and got him this 4-year extension. And Joe Flacco's gone, and they're going to have to make Lamar Jackson. They're going to work with him to make him into a better passer. But Lamar Jackson, I think going in, they made the playoffs. I think they won 6 of 7 or 7 of 8 with Lamar Jackson. who was untutored at that point
okay,
in that position.
But you the coach gets a little bit of credit
yes,
for that ascendance because
yes,
he completely reinvented the 100%, offense at that point.
But that's the reason. That's why John Harbaugh has an extension.
And John Harbaugh is a good coach.
Very good.
I've never understood why he was even on the hot seat.
Neither
he won
I,
a Super
Luke.
Bowl. He's literally he's around 9 to 10 wins most every year. Yeah, they didn't make the playoffs for a few seasons, but they had a ton of injuries. And on top of that, same thing with McCarthy and Green Bay. Like, these are good coaches. You win at that level for a long time. And then the guy gets hired by the Jets, Adam Case. I mean, who would you rather have, John Harbaugh or Adam Case with his squinty
Adam
eyes?
Case. Googly eyes.
Yeah,
whatever.
Sorry.
Odd, demonic eyes.
I guess the pushback against that is since winning the Super Bowl, Harbaugh is just 40-40 and only made the postseason once from 2003.
40-40.
Well, hindsight is 20-20. Come on. You got to play to my narrative here. It's just alternative facts.
40-40 club.
Hindsight is 50-50.
To baseball, Mr. Tony, it appears as if the Dodgers will not be a location or landing spot for Bryce Harper. They signed free agent outfielder A.J. Pollock to a four-year deal with a reported $55 million.
This is something that people should understand. I've said this a lot, that I don't think anybody in Washington would have been angry had Harper gone to the Dodgers. It's close to Las Vegas. It's a wonderful team, this, that, and the other.
Yeah, it would seem very plausible.
The Dodgers are loaded with big-time lefty hitters in the lineup. They've got Cody Bellinger, they've got Max Muncy, they've got Corey Seager, they've got Jock Peterson. They want righties. Pollock is a righty. They want righties in life. They got rid of Yasiel Puig, who is a righty, but they want an everyday outfielder. They just got one, and they didn't want that guy to be a left-handed hitter. So I think this means, well, a lot of people think it means that Harper will go to the Phillies, but I hold out hope that he will stay with the Nationals. Luke,
I always thought he was going to go to L.A. I just thought that's where his career started. That was his first game. His posts on social media have always sort of leaned L.A. with In-N-Out Burger, his love of Tommy Lasorda, his love of Vin Scully. He likes the flash of L.A., the weather of L.A. He has a private jet at this point. That's 22 minutes back to Vegas to hang out with his family.
Is it nice? Have you been on it?
I have not been on the PJ.
Not even in the Bahamas with Justin Rose?
I did once take a tour of Elvis's jet in Memphis that's outside of Graceland, which has his original Mountain Dew and whiskey, of which a fellow patron of mine on the tour started tearing up at the sight of Elvis's
TCB
Mountain
Dew. TCB on the tail or something, right?
He would lightning drink bolts and whiskey and Mountain Dew together?
Which bourbon and Mountain Dew, which I after I heard Elvis did it, I tried one of those in Memphis.
Adrenaline.
And pretty tasty.
It's a lot
pretty
of sugar.
It's a lot, kind of like an RBV with the Red Bull vodkas, which we used to drink back in the college days, but I've retired since that. But I think that to get back on track here, Harper is either now in D.C. or Philly, unless San Diego or the White Sox. But I'm prepared for life without him. Okay. I really am. Although it would suck to see him in Philly. It would be very sad.
By the way, point out, we have comedian Jared Fried in the house. Jared does a podcast called You Up, which I believe is part of the Arcadence Rent. So welcome to the show. Mr. Tony, we'll now take you to this sounds like it should be a Florida story, but it's not. It's from York Haven. Joy Henney, age 65, suffers from depression. So he needs an emotional support animal.
Understandable.
Yeah, you think, oh, well,
emotional rescue.
Yeah.
As Marvin Gaye would say.
Yeah, you think, oh, well,
a little hedgehog maybe.
A little hedgehog maybe.
Chipmunk.
An emu, something like that. No, it's a little.
Are emus small?
No, they're not.
They're not. They're big, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they're fairly
nasty
as well.
I mean, you got to have a first class seat for an emu.
Yes,
I mean,
you do.
He can't fit in coach.
By the way, this is not to take on the airplane. This is just in his daily life needs this. So Mr. Henney has a 5 foot long alligator by the name of Wally. Now, if you're thinking, oh, well, this is just a pygmy alligator. No, this eventually will grow to be 16 feet long.
The guy's an imbecile.
He says,
the alligator's going to eat him.
Well, he says, Wally likes to snuggle and give hugs.
No. He's trying to crush your bones and eat you.
Right. He turns 4 this year, does
That's
Wally.
That's a real misread of Wally.
He says he's a big teddy bear. The reptile likes to rest his snout on Henny and give him hugs, which I think is probably he's trying to eat him.
Yes.
He says now that Wally has never bitten anyone yet.
How do you hug with those short arms?
Yeah.
He's afraid of cats.
Afraid of cats.
Henny acknowledged that while Wally is still a dangerous wild animal and could probably tear an arm off, he's never been afraid of him. So
for those watching on News Channel 8,
insane.
For those who are not watching News Channel 8, they can't see This isn't one of those like small little boutique alligators that you see that are usually harvested for their meat. This is a large alligator.
Yes.
A big one. A
couple pair of boots.
A huge, And the belt and the wallet. He's big.
Mr. Henny will take Wally out for walks all the time for meet and greets at senior centers.
You can't take him to a senior center.
I mean,
he can't do that.
What a way to go, though, right?
He can't do that because he can outrun everybody there. They're on walkers.
I mean,
well, you zigzag, right? That's the way you separate him, Shell.
Mr. Tony. I mean, Michael might want to get that life insurance policy.
Ingleside is no alligator.
Go pet the alligator, Mr.
But
Tony.
Also, minor league baseball games, and he says he's just like a dog. He wants to be loved and petted.
No, he's not just like a dog. He's not. You're an idiot. Okay, are we done?
Yes, we are.
Good. We will come back with Old Guy Radio. I will describe in great detail everything that I did last night, much to the consternation of Luke, who feels I should have stayed for the game, or at least the tip.
No, the tip!
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day is Billy Joel, Long Island's own, Hicksville, New York. Why are we playing this?
Oh, we're playing this because on this date in 2003, Billy Joel crashed his Mercedes while he was driving in Long Island.
Yes.
The singer later says he was in a mental fog around this time caused by relationship issues. I think he's had a few difficulties with that. And a lingering.
He's had some big scores, though, with that, too.
Yeah. He has.
He's winning 2 out of 3 all the time.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
So, in this song, was from the 1980 album Glass Houses.
Which was a huge album.
Smash really big. And it's reached number 7 on the charts, this one did.
Like Billy Joel.
Yeah, we love Billy Joel.
I've told this story a lot of being inundated by the egotism of Bill O'Reilly on a train where he was loudly announcing to everybody, you know, Billy Joel and I, we're friends. Yeah, Billy and I, Billy. You know, just shut up. Anyway.
But Billy Joel is a pug owner, which is why I like him.
Is that right?
Yes. And then he also has had some interesting answers about his drinking habits and still enjoys a glass of wine. He goes, you know, I grew up in pub culture. Call me an alcoholic. I clean myself up. I have a glass of wine with dinner. Don't worry about it. But the thing that to your point there, Tony, in the history of humanity, has there ever been a more beautiful woman than Christie Brinkley and an uglier guy than Billy Joel?
I'm rooting for Billy Joel.
As I am. That's a 99 and a 1 on the scale.
So I wanted to just, before I talk about going to the Wizards game, well, not technically the game.
Pre-game.
No, you went to the arena. You went to the Leopard Lounge.
I went to everything there. And I hadn't been there in a while. I wanted to just mention, people always... I'm very cynical about athletes, and I tend to believe that athletes are stupid. And I also say, well, you know, they're young, and they've developed their physical side and not their intellectual side, so give them a little bit of time. When they're in their 40s, if they're still stupid, then call them out. But other than that, just give them a little bit of time. But Aqib Talib, talking about Tom Brady, he says, this is a direct quote, he's the GOAT, man. He's the GOAT. So what does the GOAT mean? The GOAT in the current athletic parlance means the greatest of all time. So he's saying Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. His next sentence is one of the best to do it. No, you're not one of the best. No, if you're the GOAT, you're the greatest.
Yes.
You can't then say he's one of the best to do it. So that's my position on Keep Flip. So I go last night. I went to the arena, and Scott Hall got me a credential. I was very pleased with that.
Thank you,
Wilbon
Scott.
Had shamed very me into going. That. Wilbon said, you got to go. It's the Warriors, you got to go. And I said, you know, I'm not going to stay long. Then, by the way, Scott Hall says to me, it's an 8 o'clock tip. And I go, there's no chance.
TV
Can
game.
You move it up a little bit?
It's a
Can
Turner we start game. A so early? There's no chance that I'm going to stay for any length of time when I find out it's an 8 o'clock. And I go over with Wilbon in an Uber that is the size of the yacht Justin Rose has in the Bahamas.
Uber Black XL.
Giant car.
Yes.
Giant car. I haven't been.
With all
I tried
the chargers
to figure this
and candy
out.
In the water, yeah.
I tried to figure this out the last time I actually went to a Wizards game. Now, I used to go with a certain amount of frequency when we did the PTI show in the old studios at the ATF building.
Oh, yeah, it's right down
here. Because we're a block and a half away. So I would wander over there to Caps games and Wizards games. Not all the time, but 3-4 times a year, I would do that.
You had a car swiped from the ATF.
I did. I got my car stolen, Jeep stolen. It's possible that I haven't been there in 6 to 8 years. That's a long time because there are a lot of changes. They were very proud 15 years ago when they put in a practice court. Luke, tell the people what the practice court is now.
Well, the practice court now is where one will have a nice glass of gas station wine and a complimentary sausage and or chicken wing sandwich.
It's a downstairs...
The Ihidad Airways Lounge.
Yeah, now they practice at I guess, where the Mystics play.
Which your taxpayer money was funded.
So they also, in the bowels of the arena, and when you're a sports writer, you go in a different door, you go in the media entrance, you go right down a couple of flights of steps, you write down on the event floor level, and you're wandering around the bowels of the arena, which used to have things like kitchens or just empty hallways or, you know, just junk.
Stacks of
there
junk.
There was nothing
piled up.
There.
Right.
Luke, explain what that is now.
You have an ultra luxurious place to eat, drink, and have a merry time. I presume this is what you're talking about,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You have different food stations.
But only certain people can go there.
A certain ticket. Yeah, it takes
front
a certain
row.
Ticket. Well, it's the gold section. Okay. However, so I'm in that section. If you're a really big dog, if you're the top dog, if you're a Kornheiser Wilbon dog, then you get this special lounge where the wine is not Frontera from the Exxon station. It is the nicest stuff where they actually have filet mignon, the lobsters. That's where you
it's
hang
like
out.
The, it's
I
like
can't get
the
in
National
there.
Club, the baseball.
Thing. Yeah, I can't get in there.
Okay. Well,
I get a hot dog and a draft beer.
So anyway, so this is for people who are sitting in the very, very, very good seats. And just as a sociological comment, I would like to say this. I think that most of us would think that those things are they have a certain racial tinge to them in the sense that there are all these rich white people being catered to watch black athletes perform. That is not true in Washington, D.C. That's not true at all. There is a great amount of mixing in that fancy section. I don't know if this is true around the league because I don't go to these places. But am I right on this, Luke?
And it's that way for...
It really
as long
is.
As I've been there, so over 25 years.
But
that's
really
one
is.
Of the things is that Washington, D.C. and Atlanta, you know, those are towns that have extremely well-regarded,
financially.
Wealthy, wealthy African-American population.
And so so you walk in there and it has a very, the word I'm looking for isn't comforting, but it has a very good feeling. It's a very good feeling because you are not. You're not in that situation where you have to feel what's really going on here. And let me get to the people out here. So Wilbon and I went in together, and that's it. After that, He's picked up and carried around on a chair.
sure.
So I got to see Dolph Sand, who I hadn't seen in years. He's a friend of mine. I like Dolph Sand. Marty Aronoff was there because he was working. What a pleasure to see David Aldridge. And what an interesting
DA moment.
Was he working?
He was working for the Athletic.
Yeah, the Athletic.
But what was interesting is that normally in that situation on a Turner game, David would have been working the sideline. Now, those days are gone, but David walked in to greet Reggie Miller and Kevin Harlan. And I imagine there was a certain nostalgia for David.
Oh, sure.
I saw Gene Wong, who I've known for a million years, has
St.
worked
Albans
at the
graduate.
Paper. Yes, he is. Yeah. And I met Bob Myers introduced himself to me, the general manager of the Golden State Warriors, and highly regarded as one of the best general managers in all of sports. And two things surprised me: how young he was and how tall he was. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't see that coming.
Pictured an older, shorter guy, did you?
Yeah, Wilbon was talking with Sean Livingston, and Sean Livingston, very bright guy.
Former Wizard.
And we were talking about the integration of Boogie Cousins to that team, and that for the first time in his life, Boogie Cousins could not say, I'm the big dog here. I'm to have to accommodate some of the others and how that was going to work out.
You're the fifth dog, Boogie. You're the fifth.
Yeah.
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 I ran into an assistant coach named Jim Barnett.
Oh, Jimmy.
Okay. He's an assistant coach for the Golden State Warriors. I watched him play. I covered him. He worked. He played for Golden State. Look him up. He played for Golden State 40 years ago. He's in his mid-70s. He looked great. And he had The best line of all, of course, was, I got a 76-year-old girlfriend. That's just such a great line. I'd like to be able to say that. I just thought it was really good. And I saw Steve Kerr, who I respect enormously.
Yeah.
I think he's really smart. I thought he was a great player. I thought he was a great player in college, a great player in the NBA because he understood his own limitations and did what he did well. He became a general manager. He wasn't as great at being a general manager. He was fabulous on the air. And he said to me, but I haven't been on the show in like 3 or 4 years. And I go, well, it's not like we don't ask. You know, your guy says he's busy. Then that was all of that stuff was what I guess what I'm getting to. And this is my egomania. Because the last two nights I've been out. I went to dinner out and then I went to this game. And I guess you forget, because I've been here a long time and I was a sports writer. And all I wanted to be was a sports writer. And there is a certain amount of prestige in being a sports writer, sports columnist. But it's not like TV. It's not, everybody doesn't know you. Everybody doesn't recognize you. When I walked in there, guards and guys that I hadn't seen in a long time and people, ticket holders, they couldn't have been nicer. They yell out your name. They're, you know, it's really,
Tony,
I haven't done this in a while. I was loved up. That was nice.
Which one of the more refreshing things about you, Tony, is that you've been on a hit television show now for, 17 years?
Cable, basic cable.
No, but it's a hit show for 17 cable. Years.
Yeah.
Decently successful podcast. And to this day, you are still shocked that someone likes you and knows who you are.
It's true.
It's incredible.
It's nice.
It's incredible.
I have to say that
you take that all the way.
It was pretty nice. It was pretty nice. Dennis Scott, who I've seen on TV, who I watched play. Didn't he play Virginia,
3D.
Dennis Scott?
Yeah,
Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech.
Yeah. In Final
Orlando,
Four.
Orlando, too. Yeah.
He came and said hello. There was a lot of helloing. There was, and Mike gets this all the time. By the way, I wake up this morning, I'm watching the 6 a.m. Sports Center, and they refer to a hit last night after the game by Wilbon.
Well, of course.
Wilbon standing on the court talking about the Warriors. This is the same Wilbon who said they can be beaten, who now looks at him and goes, oh, I haven't seen anything like this in a long time.
One thing you touched upon in the open but relates to what you're saying, when they're, and this is unique in my experience, and you guys have more of it than I do, but this is unique to these smaller arenas, to these indoor arenas, these 18, 20,000 person arenas, whether it's hockey playoffs and big regular season, in-season NBA game, there is an energy to building an arena like that that is, at least for me,
not
has always
football,
been completely intoxicating.
I love it.
It's like there's something
no,
about
you,
that
it's
buzz.
An event.
Big crowd coming
you're
in.
An event. Yeah. No, and you feel that
it's
you,
the Golden
you're
State
seeing
Warriors.
Something special. Did you see Kevin Plank?
I did not see Kevin Plank. I saw Reggie Miller.
I had
hello.
Met
that
at a charity event a number of years ago. He's a very nice guy. Kevin Plank.
I know
like
him.
He's like the billionaire next door.
Yeah.
He's the billionaire next door.
For those who don't know, I don't know. He couldn't know this,
Under
but yeah, Maryland, University of Maryland grad and
he played
founder,
football. Played
founder
football
and owner of Under
Armour. St. Yeah. John's. Anywho, he always walks around and he looks at your feet. Now, I am wearing Under Armour shoes right now. I like to wear some Under Armour sneakers. Unfortunately, last night,
I wore real shoes.
As an unhip white guy, one of the few times that I could actually rock my 1985 Air Jordans is at a game like that.
Oh, you don't want to meet Kevin Plank with that.
I had my Jordans on, and Plank looks down and kind of is like, But then I saw Wilbon asking him for free gear.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's a good move out of Mike.
Absolutely.
Asking for a box of that.
I had a big ego trip kind of thing for me last night. Now I'm not going to do it again. I've had two nights out. I'm not going out for a long time.
Will you
I'm
return done. to that stadium before the end of the season?
Hard to believe.
Yeah,
hard to believe that I would. I had this,
making the playoff
did I mention
push,
the conversation
maybe?
That I had with Joe Beninati? I've said this on the
you
air
mentioned
a couple
that
times.
You spoke to him, but okay. I don't think you.
Well, I said I've been here 40 years, and this is apropos of your point about the stadium to some degree, an indoor stadium. So I've been here 40 years. The two most amazing, and I've been involved in sports for 40 years here. The two most amazing things in my whole life happened recently. One is the vast swath of empty seats for a Redskin game, which I never, never in my life anticipated.
Unimaginable.
Absolutely. Yeah. And two were those watch parties for the Capitals.
Oh, sure.
Last summer, last late spring, early summer. Just amazing. But when you, and those two, because I've saw the footage when people headed into that arena for the Stanley Cup Finals. It's like you could light a match and blow up the whole place. It's absolutely electric. It's tinder. It's ready to go, don't you think?
Completely agree.
It's great.
The
scene... Do you feel like you go to a lot of games?
Yeah, I think the Wizards, it does take an opponent like the Warriors.
Then
when LeBron would play there with Cleveland all the time. But there are certainly some nights where they really get up. And then for the Chick-fil-A sandwich, if you miss two free throws, you get a Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Really?
They always come prepared for that.
If the opponent misses two free throws in the fourth quarter, like in one trip, if they miss both free
everybody trips. Gets Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, but the crowd goes nuts.
To get the crowd loud.
The crowd goes nuts.
However, I was there outside the arena for those Cavs games because I couldn't afford to get inside. So I was
why didn't you ask your friend Justin Rose?
Well, Justin is, he can get me like Premier League tickets, but he can't do
Augustus
Stanley
Americus
Cup.
Humphreys III.
There you go.
What about him?
So, I got to call Scott Hall and get a press credential. I still got my old Hill credential dusted off there. But that energy outside of the arena last summer was unparalleled. And a lot
Completely
of it comes
agree.
From just how long the city has desired to have a champion.
Yes, but I will say this. In contrast to the Redskins thing, which it's been a very slow burn, but we have seen coming. It's not like, my God, how did it get there?
I got to ask you guys a question.
The Caps thing... To Luke's point, although we had wanted so long, it was so spontaneous.
Stunner.
Yeah, it was sort of overnight. All of a sudden, there's these tens of thousands of people in the streets.
It was authentic. You saw this report. Dan Snyder has a $100 million yacht with an IMAX theater on it.
I think it was like
that?
$250 million or something.
How does he get any taxpayer money for a stadium? He cannot. He cannot. That boat permanently DQs you from asking for a cent from anybody. From anybody.
Well, I think that.
Okay, they were done on that. Yeah, that was really good. But you do notice, like last night, I haven't been there in a long time, but I did sense, that it was very special to the people who are going to go in and watch that game. It's a really big deal.
Yeah. All right,
we get out of here. We get out. We'll have email and jingle when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Press record. All right. Now I'm gonna sing. So now I'm gonna sing a song. It's a live jingle, a real important one. But I've got no experience to draw upon. I'd regale you with some lyrics about a wonderful story. Without first-hand history, it would go rather poorly. And now KJ can take over and sing something funny.
Is this how podcasters make all their money?
It's the chorus. Now I'm singing about doing live reads. I sing the words and the hurt from your Google machine. If I keep singing, will I get funded by underwear, razors, and seeds? Build the chorus. Do they pay for jingles about live reads? I'm singing a jingle about live reads. I'm repeating these words again because they're important. I'm singing a jingle about live reads. I'm playing the same chords over and over. I bet you didn't notice unless you were paying attention.
Ooh, that's falsetto.
Singing a jingle about live reads.
Jason Fuse. Kirsten
Love
Olmstead.
That one. Love that one.
Let me thank Brian Windhorst for coming on the show today. Let me thank today's sponsors, Lowe's and Brooklinen. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Josh Cromwell in Moselle, Mississippi. Who was that woman on Thursday's show who came on to talk about movies? She was really good. Have you considered having her on regularly? From Greg Nolden in East Stroudsburg University, East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. And it gets cold there. That's near Blair.
Just over the river.
Yeah. Catching up with Tuesday's show after a good day at work on Wednesday, relaxing with my Norfolk Terrier puppy or Gus next to me. Puppy Gus next to me. He's a good boy who turns 2 in April and weighs 15 pounds. He's related a few lines removed to Winston, the Norfolk Terrier who won the Terrier Group at Westminster last year and represented the group in Best in Show. How much do you think I can bench press? Take a guess, 315 pounds. The only difference between Gus and Winston is several hundred hours of training and tens of thousands of dollars. I've loved your show since the ESPN radio days, and your stories of your beloved Maggie continue. Best wishes for you and for Chessie from Brandon S. Bowker, who regaled us earlier.
Yes.
I don't have a dog, so zero. My dog weighs zero. From Tom Pace in Lakewood, Ohio, old dog Fergus, an English sheepdog, 102 pounds. He is the captain now. From Justin Johnson in Arlington, Virginia, I've noticed there's been no mention of Gretchen Wu in quite some time. Care to explain this latest conspiracy?
No, I talk to Gretchen all the time. She's doing quite well. Gives the best to everybody.
John Robert Ayers. Hi, Tony. Longtime listener, first-time writer. Although I'm off to college, my dogs back home are named Jake and Sonny. One's 25 pounds, a beagle corgi mix. The other is 4.5-pound toy poodle.
Wow.
The poodle is a vicious creature that loves my mother more than life itself. The other wouldn't hurt a fly. Give a shout-out to my father, Larry Ayers. For me, he's also a little. From Steve the Sycophant. My oldest son and his charming wife just adopted a dog from a local shelter. He's a purebred mutt with a chronic sinus condition. His new name is Snot. Just thought you'd like to know. Keep on potting.
I love those folks.
From Chris in Austin. First Howard Feynman, then Ann Hornaday. Next thing you'll tell me, Bagel City is no longer open. What will happen if I call 301-231-8080?
Oh, my God.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, select, start. Cheat code for life. Theron Cleveland in Atlanta. All these people who put their socks on before their underwear are weird. Is that an old person thing? P.S. I have a black lab named Duke who weighs 82 pounds. We're trying to get that down. He likes the Frisbee game, too. I went out today for the first time in a week. I played the Frisbee game with Chessie in the backyard.
How'd it go?
It hurt. I mean, it hurt, but, you know, she's left a few out there. You know, just like Tiger would say, I left some birdies on the course. Just left a couple out there. She couldn't find
them. Not playing the Frisbee.
It's dark. It's dark.
Yeah.
Bill LaHecka in Niskayuna, New York. Lola is 20 pounds, but not technically my dog. She's my girlfriend's dog. I just sublet her. She's a rescue and a mutt, and she's currently licking me. I hope this information truly enriches your show with God knows what. Keith in Pecatonica, Illinois.
The girlfriend or the dog?
The dog.
Dear the soon-to-be late, great Tony Kornheiser. Really? Whoa. I love the favorite. I was entertained for the entire 120-minute runtime. You don't see period pieces that funny fitting within the borders of that world. Think of it as a more modern All About Eve that's actually fun to watch. Sorry to hear about your run, old sport. I'm definitely afraid this will delay my favorite recurring topic on the show, stories of an old Jewish man playing private rounds of golf poorly. Yeah, I can't play for a while. Can't play.
And can I just take issue? It's like a more modern version of All About Eve, but more fun to watch. All About Eve is one of the greatest movies of all time.
Old sport.
Brett Lamb. Dear Dr. Grandpa, West Coast Millennial Little here, living in the Bay Area, 63 degrees and sunny, tell Michael. After tonight's game, the headline at the top of the sports section of the San Francisco Chronicle website was this. Warriors push win streak to 9 games after efficient dismissal of the Wizards. My first thought was how I had to tell Tony about this. I actually watched the game on local TV out here, and during the game, as the Warriors were destroying the Wizards, the announcers started talking about James Harden and the scoring tear he's been on recent weeks. They gave this stat, an obvious shot at Harden. If Steph Curry missed his next 1,000 three-pointers, his career three-point field goal percentage would still be higher than Harden's.
Wow.
His next 1,000.
That's astonishing.
Jason Blazer in Lake Orion or Orion, Michigan. I must admit, I'm concerned about your board. The same way that erratic charging practices can ruin a phone's battery, an electronic phone, much like a Quip toothbrush, your board might be wearing out. If the board needs to be reset to zero constantly, it might lose its ability to count up to the 3 or 4 it takes before a pop-up ad reduces Nigel to an apoplectic pile of goo. Sincerely, a loyal little. Dylan Potter in Nashville, Tennessee, bloodhound, 116 pounds, half of which is ears. And from Adam in Alexandria, my wife Megan and I were shopping at the Target the other day, and while we were passing the vacuum cleaners and household items, who do I see out of the corner of my eye shopping for shower curtain rods? Elena Deladon, decked out in a gray Mystic sweatsuit, and her spouse. She was noticeably taller than every 6-foot shower rod on the rack. I regrettably did not ask her if she was going to use Craftsman tools available for purchase at Lowe's in order to install the rods they were purchasing. My wife promptly said as we were leaving, "You did not shoot your shot. My cat is a slender 8.4 pounds. Adam in Alexandria wins. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, do wear white.
We're not going to be sunk this year. We're Stanley Cup champions! Yeah!
The earth, it swells and it sways. ocean salt air feels like a place. You once belonged when you were young. More or less knew where you were from. I want the slightest push, the tenderest part, the deviant love. The way you look through life, the way your hands hold up the sky. My eyes paler, more gray,
more gray.
Distant they once were. Wish away,
wish away.
Bluegrass in me in longs and waits. I want the slightest push, the tenderest part, deviant look. The way you move through night, the way your head.
Motel 6 just outside of Cincinnati. There's a table and a bottle of whiskey. They're drinking, but they light a cigarette first. Pete Rose looks terrible. Giamatti looks worse. Giamatti says, Pete, be straight with me. Have you been gambling on games? Pete says, Commissioner, where I come from, we bet on everything. He says, let's get to the point, Pete. Did you ever bet on your own team? Not sure what Pete's gonna reply, but I think I'll have a telephone ring. It's gonna be Shoeless Joe Jackson calling from Tangiers. Says, Commissioner, if you don't throw him out, what have I been doing all these years? Bagging groceries and painting houses, having a begging, stealing, rob. Pete tries to grab the receiver. He says, I could tell you stuff about Ty Cobb. Then I hear a knocking, knocking at my door. It's my sweet Martha, and I open up, and she crawls in on the floor. Says, put down your paper and pen, boy, that can wait another day. I say, what's wrong? She grabs my leg, says, all I got to say is, are you gambling with my love? Are you saying you don't care? Are you gambling with my love? Will you sit there in that chair? Are you gonna gamble? Are you gonna gamble? Gambling with my love. I say, girl, I got backers. I got money people waiting for this stuff. I got a theater off Broadway, convinced one act ain't gonna be enough. I say I'm starting to roll with this dialogue, I'm getting inside Pete Rose's head. I say he can taste the Hall of Fame, she said, don't you want to taste me instead? I say, girl, do you understand how with 4,000 hits a man could still feel emptiness? And I'd Pete say, Commissioner, what you got in your hand? He said, well, can't you guess? Pete said, if I was a betting man, I'd say you were trying to bluff me to my face. Commissioner said, too bad Jane is good, playing the odds is playing second base. About all this? Say, I don't know, I haven't thought about Mrs. Rose, and I leaned over and gave Martha a kiss. She said, you got two guys in a hotel room, no other characters or special effects. I say, there's plenty of drama there. She says, three acts, no sex. She says, there is a Mrs. Rose, though. Yeah, I said, well, yeah, there is, I suppose. She said, well, what's her chemistry? What are her specifics? Does she have a wig? Does she wear support holes? I say, baby, wearing me out, I need a break. What do you say we turn down the bed? She looks at me, she rolls her eyes, she grabs my pen and says, are you gambling with my love? Are you saying you don't care? Are you gambling with my love? Are you sitting there in that chair? Are you gonna gamble? Are you gonna gamble? Gambling with my love. So now it goes like this. P. Rose Giamatti in a hotel room. Mrs. Rose bursts in, says, damn it, Peter, carried your children in my womb. She says, Mr. Giamatti, you need this man as much as he needs you. She says, judge not, lest ye be judged. Turns to Pete and says, are you gonna gamble with my love? Are you saying you don't care? Are you gambling with my love? While you're sitting there in that chair, are you gonna gamble? Are you gonna get?